Father, forgive me of my sins. The thoughts and the words that are presented, may they be directly from you. May each one of us know that you have spoken and that it is true and it is love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been to several churches and celebrated communion in many different ways, I would say. But one thing they have all had in common was the table. And there always seems to be a communion table of sorts. And they may come in different sizes and styles, and some simple, some fancy, some decorative, and some plain. But there is always a table. Now you might wonder, what is the significance of this table that holds the elements of communion, the bread and the cups? It is significant because a table is a place where we gather together, often to share a meal. Now, I guess a table is not absolutely necessary for communion. And I've attended some communions that there was no table. And now I have to say, it's a bit different. But it is good for us to remember that the first communion took place around a table. In particular, a dinner table. And that's why the Bible calls communion both the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:20 and the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 10:21. So we want to take a closer look this morning at the Lord's table. What is significant about gathering around the Lord's table for communion? And there are a few things that we must zero in on according to God's word. The Lord's table is first and foremost a place to remember Jesus. And when Jesus sat around the table with his disciples and gave them the bread and the cup, he twice told them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Short and simple. And when we take communion, we think of Jesus. He is our focus. He is our reason for being here. We remember him. And there are three things in particular we should think about as we remember Jesus at the Lord's table. I'm going to look at verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. At first, what we should remember is his sufferings. And in verse 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I receive from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You see, the breaking of the bread is significant in communion. It was only after Jesus broke the bread that he told his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you." And so it is not just the bread, but the broken bread that represents Christ's suffering in his body. And as we take the bread that he has broken, we should remember Jesus' sufferings. But we should especially remember his physical sufferings in the body. We should remember the agony of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We should remember the unlawful arrest in the middle of the night. We should remember his unfair trial and the false accusations brought against him. We should remember Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial, and his disciples abandoning him at the greatest hour of his human need. We should remember the brutal treatment he received at the hands of the soldiers. We should remember the mocking, the blindfolding, the spitting, the beating with fists, the slap in the face, the crown of thorns pushed into his skull. We should remember the whipping and the scourging by the Roman guards, and the carrying of the cross, the nailing of the hands and feet. Jesus broke the bread and told his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you." That's in verse 24. Secondly, we should remember Jesus' death on the cross. We read that after Jesus gave his disciples the bread in the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." You see, the cup is a reminder of Jesus' death. It is a symbol of Jesus' blood poured out in death upon the cross. Now, the pouring out of blood in Scripture is always a symbol of violent death. And so the cup is a reminder not only that Jesus died, but that he was killed. Jesus did not die of old age or accident or illness. He was executed for a crime he did not commit. He was killed in one of the most brutal and painful methods known to man. He experienced nerve damage and from the nails, and he experienced hunger and thirst and exhaustion and slow suffocation up on the cross. The cup is a reminder of all of this. And as we take the cup, we should remember Jesus' death up on the cross. But there is a third thing that we should remember as we take communion. We should remember why Jesus suffered and died. And the reason why he did is he did it for us. He did it for our sins. And the Gospel of Matthew records Jesus' words in this way. As he gave his disciples the cup, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And that's in Matthew 26, verse 28. You see, Jesus did not go unwillingly to the cross. He did not just die a martyr's death. He went to the cross for a purpose. He went there to die in our place, so that our sins might be forgiven. This is why we pause before taking communion to examine our lives and to confess our sins before the Lord. We remember why Jesus suffered and died, so that we, you and I, might be forgiven for our sins. And that leads us to a second point this morning. The Lord's table is not only a place to remember. It's not only a place to remember Jesus, it is also a place to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. And we can thank God for the forgiveness of sins. You see, if communion was only about remember Jesus' suffering and death, that would make communion a pretty depressing time. And we've done that over the years. We have made communion a pretty depressing time. There is a solemn side of communion. But communion should also be a time of celebration. We were separated from God because of our sins. But Christ died so that we might be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so communion is a time to thank God for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The old covenant required the sacrifice of animals as prescribed by the law. But God made a new covenant with us in Jesus. Jesus was the final sacrifice for sins, and whoever puts their faith in him is forgiven. So thank God. Thank God the Father for his great love for sending Christ. And thank God the Son, Jesus, for laying down his life for you and me. And thank God the Holy Spirit for coming into our lives, into your life and into my life, and washing us clean. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Not only that, but marvel. Marvel in God's gracious invitation to come. God did not have to invite us to his table. But he did. He did. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes into me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 6, verse 35 to 37. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, it is because Jesus first invited you to come. God the Father has graciously drawn you to himself and set you down at the table with his son. Not because of anything righteous that you or I have done, but simply by his goodness and grace. Salvation, hear this, church. Salvation is not by works. It is the precious gift of God, which is received by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's table is a place of celebration, a place to celebrate God's forgiveness and grace. And then thirdly, it is also a place to share the Christian fellowship. Now, Christian fellowship has two dimensions, both the vertical and the horizontal. So first we'll deal with the vertical dimension. And we share in fellowship with the risen Christ. And there is a reason why we actually eat the bread and drink the cup in communion. Have you ever thought about that? If the Lord's Supper was just a time to remember Jesus and celebrate God's forgiveness, we wouldn't have to eat or drink anything. We would simply lay out the bread and the cup as reminders. We could break the bread to symbolize Christ's sufferings and pour out the cup to symbolize his death. We could do that. But Jesus instructs us. He instructs us to eat the bread and drink the cup. So why is that? Why is that? It's because in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we share in fellowship with Christ. Just as food and drink nourishes us physically, so Christ nourishes us spiritually. He is the vine. We are the branches. We get our spiritual life from him. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. That's in two places in the Bible, Psalm 34, verse 8, and 1 Peter 2, 2 to 3. Not taste physically, that's not what it's talking about, but rather come experience fellowship with Christ and see that he is good. Now, I'm going to touch on something now I'm just going to touch on it. There are three basic views on how we share in fellowship with Christ through the Lord's Supper. One which should be rejected, and I'm going to say that, put that right out front. One which should be rejected, and there's two which are valid interpretations of Scripture. So I'm going to deal with the first one first. The first view we could call the physical presence of Christ in the elements. And this is also known as the doctrine of transubstantiation, which teaches that the bread and the wine are physically changed into the body and blood of Jesus, so that you are feeding upon Christ's actual body and blood in the Lord's Supper. I do not believe that. I do not believe that is what the Bible teaches. So if the Bible doesn't teach it, this view should be rejected. Then there's the second one. Others believe there is a spiritual presence of Christ in the bread and in the cup, and that Christ is spiritually present in the elements as you take them. Now, that's not my personal view. I'll say that. Although it is a valid interpretation from Scriptures, which is held by many Christians in many churches. I believe this. I believe that the Bible teaches the memorial presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. That Christ is present among us in a special way when we share the Lord's Supper together. But that there is nothing magical or supernatural in the elements themselves. The bread remains bread. The grape juice remains grape juice. And these are symbols of Christ's suffering and death. And as we partake of them and take them into our bodies, they are a reminder of the rich fellowship we share with Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So that is the vertical dimension of Christian fellowship that takes place in communion, that we share in fellowship with Christ. But there is also the horizontal dimension of Christian fellowship. We share in fellowship with each other. You can find that in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 10. You notice that we do not eat the bread and drink the cup alone. We share in the Lord's Supper together. The bread is not only symbolic of Christ's body and suffering, but it's also symbolic of the church. Verse 17, I'll read it for you. It says this, because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. And believers in Christ who partake of the one loaf together, we are reminded that Christ lives within each one of us through the Holy Spirit. And so, we have fellowship with one another. See, true Christian fellowship always, always has vertical and this horizontal dimension. We share in fellowship with Christ, and we share in fellowship with each other. The Lord's table is a place to share in Christian fellowship together. And then finally, the Lord's table is a place to anticipate Christ's return. When Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he told them in verse 18 of Luke 22, "I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Jesus proclaimed the coming of Jesus, or of God's kingdom. In one sense, the kingdom arrived when Jesus arrived in our world 2,000 years ago. But that was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. God's kingdom continues to advance in this world through the Holy Spirit, in the church, and in the lives of believers. But the kingdom will not come. Hear this. The kingdom will not come in its fullness until Christ returns and makes all things right. And so the Lord's Supper has a forward thrust to it. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so the Lord's Supper not only looks backwards, not only looks backwards in history to Christ and the cross, it also looks forward in time to when Christ will return. We remember Jesus and what he has done for us, and we look forward to Jesus and his soon return. So I'd like to close this morning with this invitation. It is a dinner invitation of sorts, and all are invited. All are welcome. It is an invitation to come to the Lord's table. And the only requirement, and there is a requirement, the only requirement is that you come through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ, just come remembering. Come remembering Jesus' suffering and death, and that he died for you to save you from your sins. Come celebrating God's forgiveness and grace as you receive God's gift of salvation through faith in Christ. Come sharing in Christian fellowship with Christ in heaven and your brothers and sisters in Christ here on earth. And come anticipating Christ's return when Jesus will make all things right again and you will go to be with God forever. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Come to the table of our Lord. That's what we're asking. That's what we're celebrating this morning, this Sabbath.